as much as Shalva, King Shalva, Kuja, Narakasura, Balvala, King Balvala, Dantavakra, the brother of Shishupal, a dead rival of Krishna's. Santoksha, King Santoksha, Shambhara, King Shambhara, Vidurata, King Vidurata, Rukmi Mukhya, the brother of Rukmini,
the
first queen of Krishna at Dwaraka. In the battlefield, Samati Shalina, all very powerful, Atachapa, well equipped with bows and arrows, Kamboja, the king of Kamboja, Matsya, the king of Dwarabanga, Kuru,
the sons of
Dhritarashtra, Srinjaya, King Srinjaya, Kaikaya Adya, the king of Kaikaya and others, Yasyanti, would attain a darshana, impersonal merging within the Brahma Jyoti. Allah, what to speak of? Bala, Baladev, the elder brother of Krishna. Pata, Arjuna, Bhima, the second Pandava. Vyaja Amayena, by the false name, Harina, by Lord Hari, Nilaya, the abode, Tadiya, of him. Translation. All demonic personalities like Pralamba, Devaka, Vaka, Keshi, Arishta, Chandura, Mushtika, Kumalaya, Pita, Elephant, Kamsa, Yavana, Narakasura, and Pondraka, great marshals like Shalva, Dwivida Monkey, and Balvala, Dantavakra, the Seven Bulls, Shambhara, Vidurata, and Rukmi, as also great warriors like Kamboja, Matsya, Kuru, Srinjaya, and Kekaya would all fight vigorously, either with the Lord Hari directly, or with him under his names of Baladev, Arjuna, Bhima, etc. And the demons, thus being killed, would attain either the impersonal Brahma Jyoti or his personal abode in the Vaikuntha planets. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All manifestations in both the material and spiritual worlds are demonstrations of the different potencies of Lord Krishna. The personality of Godhead Baladev is his immediate personal expansion, and Bhima, Arjuna, etc. are his personal associates. The Lord would appear, and he does so whenever he appears, with all his associates and potencies. Therefore, the rebellious souls, like the demons and demoniac men mentioned by names like Pralamba, would be killed either by the Lord himself or by his associates. All these affairs will be clearly explained in the 10th canto, but we should know well that all the above-mentioned living entities killed would attain salvation either by being merged in the Brahma-jyoti of the Lord or being allowed to enter into the abodes of the Lord called Vaikuntha. This has already been explained by Bhishmadeva in the first canto. All persons who participated in the battlefield of Kurukshetra or otherwise with the Lord or with Baladeva, etc., would benefit by attaining spiritual existence according to the situation of their minds at the time of death. Those who recognized the Lord would enter Vaikuntha, and those who estimated the Lord as only a powerful being would attain salvation by merging into the spiritual existence of the impersonal Brahma-jyoti of the Lord. That every one of them would get release from material existence, since such is the benefit of those who played with the Lord inimically. One can imagine what would be the position of those who devoutly served the Lord in transcendental relationship with him. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vichari Nira Vishesha Shunyavani Vastu Chalaisha Tari Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramavichananda Sri Advaita Gaya Vashi Vastani Gaura Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajrapur is taking a sinful gateway, but he doesn't allow me to go by Shuddha Namaha. Vajrapur Namaha. First of all, thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for coming. We appreciate it. And there's actually something we're going to talk about later on in the May Sunday program, is that this temple is here. Of course, it's here as a kind of a flagship for the area, flying the flag of Krishna and Prabhupada and Jagannath, and as a facility to invite people to, so they receive Krishna consciousness. But more than that, actually, it's really there for the devotees. For us, the devotees are those who are trying to be or become proper devotees. You may have heard me mention before, and I will mention this afternoon or later on also, how I was in Sri Prabhupada's room once in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and the German Sankirtan devotees got a special, like a darshan with Prabhupada, and somehow I got in there also. So Srila Prabhupada, they all came in as maybe 20 or something like that, young men, all young men, and Germans, and that very sort of, a lot of Shakti was there, you could say, in different ways. And they sat down, and Srila Prabhupada said, "So, what is the main thing?" They're all Sankirtan devotees. They're all, I would say, actually, quite realistically fanatical book distributors. They were just unreal. At least at that time, very dedicated to book distribution by any means, in any place, at any time. So, so what is the main thing? And about 20 more lots of hands went up. Book distribution, Srila Prabhupada. Expecting that this is, you know, it's almost like obvious. But Prabhupada says, no. And everyone was taken aback. No. Preaching. No. Chanting Hare Krishna. No. So eventually they gave up. And Prabhupada said, the main thing is that you read the books. I have written these books for you, for the devotees. And it's not that you go to distribute them and you give the person the book and they ask, what is it? What is it about? And then you say, I don't know because I haven't read it, but it's a good book and you should buy it. Yes, anyway, we'll repeat that this afternoon, or later on, don't mind. But yes, this temple and these programs are here for us. And that's really what they're here for. And therefore, well, let me just tell you one thing. If we were in Russia, and we were in an area like Phoenix, where there are as many devotees as there are in Phoenix, this place would be packed out right now. It would be pretty full. It really would. Everyone would come, unless they were just not able due to, you know, unaffordable circumstances. Anyway, just bear it in mind. We may not be as Krishna conscious as we think we are, or would like to be, or something like that. Because what is the foundation of the process? What is the first step from basing on which the other steps can be taken, and, you know, sort of upon the foundation of which we can build our structure, the structure of our Krishna consciousness? It's hearing, shravana, kirtanam, vishnam, smaranam, padasevam, archanam, dasam, sakam, atmanavedana, the nine processes there. But the first one is hearing. And without hearing, or at least say sufficient, regular hearing, the other processes, the next one of course being chanting, the other processes can't really develop so much. At least it will be really difficult, or it's just really hardly possible. Okay. Anyway, that's by the way, actually. But here we have these two verses. Here, first of all, we're in chapter 7 of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is a chapter, as we saw, titled Scheduled Incarnations. And it's a list. There's been a whole list of different incarnations, and now it's focusing on Lord Krishna, actually focusing quite in depth. There's a whole series of verses describing Odorishka in different ways. But essentially, it's a list of scheduled incarnations. And, you know, if you're familiar enough with Srimad Bhagavatam, you know that in the first canto, chapter 3, there is another list. It's, you know, fairly similar at least, quite similar. But it's another list. Just within a few chapters of each one. You know, one list in the first canto, another list in the second canto, quite close to each other. Lists of incarnations. So of course that in and of itself is important, that the incarnations of the Lord are very important. Not just very important, but essential to really understand as much as possible. Yes, and then familiarize ourselves and hear about and develop some attachment for. And therefore, you know, it's interesting little side point. In this list here, between these two verses, the list of demons, basically, the great majority of demons, there's mention of Podraka. Podraka appears in the pages of the 10th canto. Lord, it's a long story, but he is killed by Krishna. And in that particular chapter of the 10th canto, Shukadeva Goswami, there's a verse in which Shukadeva Goswami expresses surprise. What sort of rascal, what sort of fool, what sort of demon was Pondraka? Because he claimed to be Lord Vishnu. And he claimed that Krishna, who of course would sometimes manifest 4 arms, and then with the 4 arms, hands, he would display the different symbols of Vishnu, the conch, the cup, the lotus, and the whatever it is. Conch, cloud, lotus. That's the cloud. Chakra. Chakra. So Pondraka challenged Krishna, give them back. You know, you have wrongly taken them. And Krishna said, oh, you want them back? Well, first of all, take the chakra, but you'll have to catch it. And there went the chakra. And Pondraka tried to catch it. He would not have made the Indian cricket team. He failed to catch it, and rather it cut off it his head. And that was the end of Pondraka, and therefore he has made it into the list here. In this sense, he has achieved a position in the list. But the thing, my point here is that here we have 2 lists of, at least to quite some degree, the same incarnations of the Lord. It's repetitive. In that chapter that we're referring to in the 10th canto, Shukadeva Goswami, as we mentioned, expresses his surprise, by his shock. How could someone be like that? And then he repeats it. There are 2 verses. There's a couple of verses in between. But he repeats it. His shock that someone could be so foolish and such a rascal as Pondraka. And Srila Vishvacharya Bhaktivinoda, in his commentary on those 2 verses, or 1 of the 2, he makes the point that Please note how this is, in the second verse, is a repeat of the first verse. And he says that in such a small book, just listen to this, in such a small book as Srimad Bhagavatam, which is dealing with so many subject matters in a mere 12 cantos, 15 or something thousand verses. If a verse is repeated, if anything is repeated, it means it's of special importance. So, Shukadeva Goswami felt like that. He was just so shocked. Disbelief. How could someone possibly be like that? That he repeated it, and it's repeated in the Bhagavatam. So it's an interesting point. Because just as an example, in the ninth canto, the tenth chapter of the ninth canto, where there's the narration of the pastimes of Lord Rama, sort of the main pastimes, then there is one verse in which the transcendental distress of Lord Rama is expressed when Sita is kidnapped. One verse. In Ramayana, there are, if I remember correctly, three chapters. And just Lord Rama just expressing and again and expressing and again and again and just about three chapters. His distress, transcendental separation from Mother Sita. Yes. So this chapter then, the seventh chapter of the second canto, is sort of a repeat. Not entirely, but at least in many ways, a list of different incarnations, and a number of them are repeated from first canto. Definitely Krishna is. Yes, so that shows that there are different things in Srimad Bhagavatam which show what are the essential teachings of the Bhagavatam. The most essential teaching is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or even Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, that's the main point in the whole book. And in order to bring this out, a certain amount of repetition is there. So, yes, but this is very interesting though. Here we have all these demons of Siddhant, and at least most of them, maybe not exactly all, but maybe all, but at least most of them, their deaths at the hands of Lord Krishna, or in some cases Balarama, sometimes Arjuna, Bhima, and others also, the kind of like manifestations of the Lord in certain senses. All of these demons who were killed by the Lord or his expansions and representatives, they all achieved some type of liberation. Well, there are two types, really. Certainly two types which are mentioned here, that is two main types. One is to go back to Godhead, to the kingdom of God. Back to Godhead, Vaikuntha, or possibly Goloka Vrindavan, And the other, the second one, is some impersonal liberation, some type of merging, like Shishupala, I think it's not mentioned. I think Shishupala is not mentioned in this verse. Shishupala merged into the body of Krishna. That's a certain type of liberation. Others merged into the effulgence, Brahmajyoti, the effulgence of the body of Lord Krishna. You know, these are impersonal liberation. This is impersonal liberation. And this is very amazing. This is very amazing. And indeed, in the seventh canto, when Shishupala is killed by Krishna, also by the Sudarshan Chakra, then Maharaj Yudhisthira, there's many people there, because it was the Rajasuya sacrifice of, anyway, it was Rajasuya sacrifice. And Maharaj Yudhisthira was standing there next to Narada Muni, and Maharaj Yudhisthira questioned Narada Muni, how is it possible that someone like this Shishupala, who was such a rascal and demon, and never in his life ever said anything other than criticism of Krishna. Never. No matter what was being discussed, he would find a way to criticize Krishna. Yeah. So how is it that he merged in the body of the Lord? So in principle, this is sort of the main point here, that these people, in certain ways that are unqualified, drastically unqualified. What to speak of not being advanced devotees, or maybe not chanting their rounds every day, or you know, sometimes watching a Bollywood movie or some sort of questionable activity like that. They never chanted one round. They hated Krishna. And the majority hating Krishna. They tried to kill Krishna, actually. You must hate someone awfully bad to try to kill them. Kill them. Did you try to kill someone? Anyway, it's all right. They just despised Krishna. Ugh. And they tried to kill him, but Krishna killed them, or Balaram, or someone like that. Therefore, they ended up on the list here. But these people have attained one of these forms of liberation. And otherwise, particularly to achieve the liberation of going back to Vaikuntha or going to Vrindavan, most particularly, but even to merge into the Brahmajyoti, to achieve these forms of liberation, it is not easy. You have to do many good things. Obviously, particularly to go back to Godhead, you have to become a pure devotee. There's no space there for, you know, half and half devotees. People who have not really serious about Christian consciousness, although they may have some interest. Generally, people like that, they'll have to take birth again and really develop their Christian consciousness more, generally. Generally, in order to go to Vaikuntha, particularly the Loka Vrindavan, you have to become a pure devotee and render pure devotional service. And even, maybe, for a number of lifetimes, very seriously, and then you may go back to Godhead, to merge into the Brahma-jyoti, the impersonal liberation of the impersonalists, the Mayavadis talk about it. In order to achieve that, well, in Bhagavad Gita, towards the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about this. How these people have to cultivate certain qualities and do certain things for many lifetimes. And then Krishna says, then they also may not, be able to merge, achieve impersonal realization. But now these people, like we've said, they were demons. They were staunchly anti-Krishna, but they also achieved those things. As Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, because they were fighting with him, even the battle of Kurukshetra, wherever it may have been. So, those of them who somehow got the idea that this is actually the Supreme Lord, at least got the idea a little, those ones, they may have gone to Vaikuntha. Whereas those who are fighting with Krishna, and then they get killed by Krishna, but they just think he's some kshatriya, or just some ordinary person, powerful ordinary person, then they merged. They got impersonal realization, which, like we said, either way is very difficult. Very, very difficult. So that's interesting. But Prabhupada makes the point, and ultimately it's the main point for us to take home with us, that since such is the benefit of those who played with the Lord, inimically played with the Lord. For the Lord it was like playing, for them it wasn't like playing. Since such is the benefit of those who played with the Lord inimically, one can imagine what would be the position of those who devoutly serve the Lord in transcendental relationship with Him. Yes, this is the thing. That if they interacted with the Lord in those types of ways, but still they achieved so much, then what will be the achievement of a sincere devotee? In the sixth canto, at the end of the second chapter, where at the beginning there, the story of Acharya is described, it's narrated, that Acharya, although he wasn't like Prahlada Sura or Dvivedita or Rukmi, these real demons who hated Krishna, but Acharya, he was degraded. He became entangled, deeply entangled, in many, many simple activities, so that somehow or other, he had contact with the Lord in the form of the holy names, or at least the name Uriah, one of the sacred names of the Lord, because he named his child Uriah, because it was just like the social practice. You give children, when you have a child, you name the child some name of the Supreme Lord, or at least the demigod, or something like that, or some sacred place. So that was the practice amongst the people in general. And therefore he named his child Uriah, because it was just one of those names which the people would give their children those days. And therefore as a parent, he was always concerned about his child. Where is Uriah? What is Uriah doing? Uriah, come with me. Uriah, stop that. He's always, all day, Uriah. But he was addressing his son. But still, on the basis of that, he went back to Godhead. So there's the verse there, right at the end of the second chapter of the sixth canto, which makes this point, the same point, in relation to chanting that Prabhupada is making about how we may interact with the Lord personally. In the purport here, Shivadeva Goswami makes the point that if a jhani, through chanting the name of Uriah, calling for his son, if he went back to Godhead on the basis of that sort of chanting, then how can there be any doubt that someone who sincerely chants with faith on a regular basis, how can there be any doubt that they'll go back to Godhead? So in other words, this is very encouraging for us. Not that we should start thinking that, yes, well, I'm on my way back to Godhead. See you there. Like it's already practically, you know, what do they say? It's all finished by the shouting. They said it. Or anyway, it's practically done. It's practically done. A done deal. It's not. And we definitely should not, must not think like that. But still it's very encouraging that if we really do try our best to chant the holy names and relate with the Lord, here it's the point is the type of relationship, the mood, the attitude towards the Lord, and then on the basis of the attitude, the activities in relation to the Lord, which are then carried out on the basis of the mood and the attitude and the feelings. So they hated the Lord, and they were killed by the Lord or the others, and they achieved what they achieved. So for us it's encouraging that if we carry on, and if we really try to carry on sincerely, and really serve the Lord from the heart, and really maintain our standards, our principles, and really try to avoid taking shortcuts or making excuses for our shortcomings. But if we actually genuinely do our best as far as we're actually able, then, well, some mercy will be there. some mercy will be there. You cannot force your way into the kingdom of God, like sometimes people force their ways into someone's house. Maybe criminals, sometimes they do that, or even people sometimes, they gate crash a party. Uninvited guests, suddenly they're there. So, you cannot gate crash the kingdom of God. Just force you, push your way in. It just cannot be done. It can only be done by mercy. And even if we follow everything perfectly, which is not easy, but at least if we follow things as sincerely as we're capable of doing, then some mercy will be there. And it's by that mercy, ultimately, that we may become successful. Develops love for Krishna, going back to Godhead. It's on the basis of that mercy. Not just because we have apparently or in a technical sense become qualified this way or that. So the Lord is very merciful. He's so merciful that even these rascals, nonsense people, demons who hated them, but he benedicted them. And so what to speak of the sincere devotees who Prabhupada uses the word devoutly serve the Lord. Devoutly means from the heart, with real heartfelt sincerity. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comment or question? Rupa Loka Prabhu. Of a demoniac consciousness. Yeah. they forgot their backgrounds. But just on that point of their choice, Jiva Goswami describes in Priti Samadhara that this shows that they have Sarvokya Mukti, or maybe what is it? Sashti or something. They want the association with the Lord, or they want to be in the same place as the Lord. Because otherwise they would have thought, oh, seven births as devotees, that would be great. Yeah, we could be devotees. But they were thinking, let's give back.
Close intimate relationship
because the negativity will come out. And that's what happens. And unlike with Sahajiyas, they try to be very intimate, but actually they still have like lusty desires, which means it's a type of manifestation of envy of the Lord. I want to enjoy, not him, me. I want to enjoy lusty activities. So, therefore, awe and reverence is extremely important. So we get over that and become situated in, as devotees, in the mood of being servants first. It's not exactly dasya or rasa, but it's just a basic mood of being a servant as opposed to being opposed. Yeah. So that has to be gone through. Otherwise, Prabhupada gives the example I came across somewhere, that if someone tries, before they had the purification, to get free from lust, anger, greed, at least to have made some substantial progress in becoming more fixed in being a devotee and not, you know, prone to deviate off. But if someone doesn't go through that, but rather they try to become so intimate with the Lord while they still have all these degraded tendencies strongly, but they think, yes, relationship with the Lord, here I am, me and Krishna. In other words, they think they're on an elevated platform. Then go back to Gaudiya. Prabhupada gives the example of the maturing of a jackfruit. You know, jackfruit, big jackfruit. Prabhupada says these types of people, they're like a certain jackfruit. Sometimes on a tree, you know, you'll have a number of these big, normal jackfruits. But sometimes you get a little jackfruit. Somehow or other, you know, it just hasn't grown. But it's fully developed. If you leave it there and water it and fertilize it or whatever, it's not going to grow up to become a big jackfruit. It's somehow, it's like a freak. And it's just, it's fully developed, it cannot become bigger, but it's small. So Prabhupada uses that example. It's a very nice example. He calls it just a kacha jackfruit. Yeah. Which is sort of a way of addressing kacha jackfruit. No one will want it, it'll just be thrown away. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.